But regardless of what our fears and joys are, my guess is that for most of you, you would rather feel joy rather than fear. I don't think most of us go around thinking, man, I want to feel fear and terror for all of my life. But rather, most of us seek to do things that will bring us joy. And in the passage we're going to cover tonight lies the greatest news of the greatest joy, which can remove what should be our greatest fear. Pastor Chris read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14 earlier, which is also, once again, on the backside of your program. And to tack onto those verses, I also want to read verses 15 through 20, which will be up on the screen for you to follow along. So in Luke 2, verses 15 through 20, it reads, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them." Well, if you look closely, we see that this passage on these shepherds is essentially bookended with references to the glory of God. And if you're unfamiliar with that phrase, the glory of God, it refers essentially to God making known to people the fullness of his perfections, to make known to people his infinite beauty and the greatness of who he is. And as I mentioned, as we look at this passage from verses 8 through 20, it's bookended with references to the glory of God. The story begins with the glory of God surrounding the angels and the shepherds responding with fear and trembling. And yet the story ends with the shepherds glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. So what was it about God's glory that caused the shepherds to fear and tremble in the beginning? But perhaps even more importantly, what was it that they heard and saw that caused them to rejoice and glorify and praise God for all that he had done? Let's take a moment to answer both of those questions. First, why did the shepherds fear and tremble at the presence of God's glory? Well, if you look across the rest of the Bible, we see that this is a pretty common response to God's presence. Adam and Eve hid in shame in the garden when God walked through the garden with them. The prophet Isaiah, when he saw the vision of the Lord on the throne, fell down and cried out, "I'm a man of unclean lips." And even the disciple John, or the apostle John, who described himself as the one whom Jesus loved, even he fell down as though dead when he saw the vision of the resurrected Jesus. Well, what theme unites all of these stories? What theme unites Adam and Eve and Isaiah and John and now the shepherds? And the answer is an awareness of one's sin before a great and holy God. When one gets a glimpse of how great God is and how holy God is and how perfect God is, one can't help but see how unlike God they truly are. And even more so, how unworthy they might be to be in his presence. It's sort of like how lazy you and I might feel if we're watching the Olympics on TV and watching these great athletes compete while we're sitting on the couch eating a snack. Or how dumb we might feel every year when we watch middle schoolers compete in the National Spelling Bee. Or how selfish we might feel when comparing our acts of kindness with that of the late Mother Teresa. Seeing the greatness of others often illuminates how unworthy we are in comparison. And so as the shepherds stood in the field and the glory of God shone around them, no doubt as God revealed his perfections to them, they felt unworthy to be in his presence. They caught a firsthand glimpse of the greatness and holiness and perfection of this God, and they saw how sinful they were in comparison. And seeing the greatness of God and seeing the sinfulness of their hearts caused great fear in the shepherds, just like every other human encounter with the glory of God in the Bible. So why did the shepherds fear and tremble at the presence of God's glory? It's because they were unworthy to be in his presence due to their sin. And the same is true for all of us here tonight. We all have wandered from God. We all have disobeyed his commands. We all have a desire in our hearts to wander. Every single one of us can probably look around at those around us and probably find someone who we tend to look up at and say, man, this person is like the perfect person. Like, I never hear them say a bad word. They're always doing the right thing. They're always unselfish towards others. Like, we can always look around and see someone who seems to be better than we are, who seems to behave better than we are. And so imagine if we can find someone here on earth, we can always find someone here on earth who is more perfect than we are. Imagine what we would feel if we caught a glimpse of God in the fullness of his glory. If we were able to see how truly holy and perfect and good this God is, and then compare that to our actions, to our sin, to our guilt, to our faults, we too, like the shepherds, would probably respond with great fear and trembling, wondering how this God might act towards us. And yet, by the end of the story, the shepherds are glorifying and praising God for all they have seen and heard. So what was it that they heard and saw that caused them to glorify and praise God for what he had done? What shifted their attitude from fear and trembling to one of, this God is great and this God is good and we want to praise him for what he has done? Well, if we look back at the passage that Pastor Chris read, we see that they heard the angel's message. And the angels say that the shepherds didn't have to fear because the angels had good news of great joy for them. So what was this good news? It was the news that a Savior had been born who was Christ the Lord. You see, long ago, God knew that every man and every woman and every child that would ever live would disobey him. And he knew that he could only be in relationship with someone who was just as perfect as he was. And so we saw this dilemma. Everyone is not going to be perfect, and I can only be in relationship with those who are. And because God loves us, he was determined to make a way so that his people could once again be in a relationship with him. And the angels are announcing this good news that this baby would be the one who would one day be able to bridge that relationship. This baby would one day be the Savior of the world, that this Christ, also known as Jesus, would be the one who would die on the cross to pay for our sins. This Jesus would conquer sin, death, and the grave. And therefore, this baby would one day make it possible so that every man and every woman could have a relationship with God, to stand in his presence and not be filled with fear, but with joy. And so the shepherds heard this news and they decided to go see. We have to go see if this is true. We have to go see if this child has been born. We have to go see if the Savior of the world has come. And they arrive in Bethlehem, they see this child, and it confirmed exactly what the angel spoke of. The Savior of the world had arrived. This baby, this Savior of the world, this Jesus turned the shepherds' hearts from fear to joy. They could now be in the presence of God and not feel guilt or shame or fear over their sin. The Savior had come who would take that all away. The Bible tells us that one day Jesus will come back again. And when he does, God will judge every man and every woman according to what they have done. And like the shepherds at the beginning of the story, all of us will stand before a holy God and we'll see God in his perfection, we'll see God in his holiness, we'll see God in the greatness of his glory. And in that moment, it'll reveal just how unlike God we truly are. Just how unworthy we are to be as humans with a perfect God. And no doubt it'll cause us to feel great fear as to how God will act and what God will do with us. That is, unless you and I are willing to admit that we need a Savior. In John 3:16, a verse familiar to many of you, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." regardless of your past, regardless of your sin, regardless of the extent or depth of that sin, if you place your trust in Jesus that he died for you, then God will save you when he returns. In other words, what we have seen in this passage is this, that the only path from fear to joy is to trust in Jesus as your Savior. All the wealth in the world will leave us in fear before a perfect God. Popularity will leave us in fear before a holy God. The total of all the good things that you could ever do in this life will leave you in fear before a holy God. But trusting in Jesus to pay for our sin will leave us with great joy as we stand before him on the day when he returns. For all of us gathered here tonight, I pray that no one would leave here in fear of death, in fear of judgment, in fear of unworthiness, in fear of when Christ will return. Tonight, we have heard the good news of great joy that Jesus Christ has come, that he has come to save us from our sins. And I encourage you to place your trust in him so that your greatest fear, so that our greatest fear would be replaced with the greatest joy found in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Let's pray. God, as we catch glimpses of your presence, as we catch glimpses of who you are, Father, it becomes clear to us that we need you, that we need a Savior. And so, Father, we come before you and we ask you this evening to save us from our sin, to be our Savior, to be our God, to be our Lord. We need you. And Father, as you save us, as you deliver us from our sin, Father, would you work in us to give us great joy this evening, to give us great joy knowing that our Savior has come, our Jesus has come, that this baby would one day grow up to be the Savior of the world. And Father, as we leave this place tonight, would you work in us to be messengers to those around us of the great news, of great joy, of Jesus Christ, who can deliver us from our greatest fear. Amen. In John chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, we read that Jesus was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Tonight, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we celebrate that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, that he has come to shine his light in the darkness, to overcome the darkness, to overcome the darkness in the world and to overcome the darkness in our hearts. So we encourage you tonight to let Jesus shine into light, shine into your heart, to reveal your sin, to reveal your need for him, but also recognize that he has come to give you life, to give you light, life in him, to give you life for all of eternity through a relationship with him. Jesus has come to give light to all. Let us receive that light tonight.